Well, today we're going to cover a little history in Montana. We're not going to go back as far as 1841 when Father DeSmit planted a small plot at St. Mary's Mission. We're not going back that far. We're going to begin somewhere around the mid-1970s. There's a small handful of ag enthusiasts, ranchers, farmers, advocates, broadcasters. And they turned on the on-air light for the first time on a statewide radio network dedicated solely to Montana's largest industry. You know these people. One of them became a U.S. Senator, and another is going to be recognized this week for his many achievements with an honorary doctorate from his alma mater, Montana State University. Yes, I'm taking a big risk today, but it's only right. Let's interview Taylor Brown on Voices of Montana. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a really, really good day. Keep telling yourself that, Taylor. It's going to be just fine. I have to admit that my in-studio guest today, I really had to twist his arm, despite the fact it's not his first time in front of a microphone. Humble person, doesn't want to make it about himself, and we won't. We'll talk about the history of Montana. We'll talk about especially communication in a lot of ways as well. And I got to say, I really like working for this man. Despite the fact he tells me this may be my last day.
That was in the past. You used to work here. Yes.
That was my last day.
It was nice knowing you.
On the job.
Eric, get ready. You're going to be stepping up. You'll be the new talk show host starting tomorrow.
That's a joke I stole from him this morning, and then he just embellishes on it. No, this will be fun. All right, Taylor, it'll be fun. I appreciate you, your sense about
Schultz,
this.
Schultz, the only reason I'm here is because you said it'll go worse for you if you're not here. That's the only reason.
This is true. And then I said I have Montana State President Wadid Cruzado on the line. And then you go, oh, man, I can't miss that. President Cruzado, good morning. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning. I'm so excited. This is a wonderful week for old Bobcats. So thanks for having me here.
It certainly is a big week. I'm going to just start talking about that Montana State football team because what a huge win that was. Listen to that game on our station here in Billings, Montana, which Taylor Brown carries, by the way. thrilling, real thrilling. And then those tickets sold out like crazy, didn't they?
They did. And again, I was there in Texas with our team. And I'm going to tell you, Tim, the best and most beautiful part, in addition to having an extraordinary team, was that we had almost as many Bobcats there on the stands as they had fans, the hosting institution. So that goes to tell you about the incredible love that our fans and alumni have for this team and for Montana State University.
You know my guest today, don't you, Taylor Brown? Let me introduce you to Taylor Brown. He's a big fan of yours.
I just need to tell you, I had the honor and the privilege of meeting Taylor and Shannon. I think that I met them right at the start of my tenure here the first month, and I was just blown away, absolutely blown away. What an incredible couple. And Taylor is just as good as land-grant universities prepare students to go out in the world and make a difference.
You know, Dr. Cruzado, I asked my staff this morning, they were teasing us Bobcats here. We have a couple of folks from that other school here at our staff. And I was asking them, I said, well, it's easy for you. You guys go to the playoffs all the time. But how many were here in 1984, the last time we hosted a semifinals playoff game? This is a big deal for us.
And it could not have happened in a better time, a better year, and a better week, Taylor.
That is so true. Thank you. It's such a special week.
Well, Dr. Wadid Cruzado, President of Montana State University, has been there since 2010. President Cruzado, I kind of want to talk about the history, since you became president there in 2010. But I'll go back to like when Taylor first began broadcasting in the state of Montana. I think there's a lot of achievements in agriculture in the state of Montana.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is incredible partnership that we have with the state and your land-grant university, right? Right here, we have the knowledge, the experiment, that we prepare the wonderful individuals who are going to be the agricultural leaders of the future. And that is one of the most important things that we do at Montana State University. And Tom, we have been doing that since day one of our creation back in 1893, right? Yep. When we were the first university in the state to be approved by the Montana legislature. So we continue to do that, but I also need to say we just cannot do it by ourselves. We just cannot do it alone. And it's with people like Tom and with so many agricultural leaders around the state that they really help us keep our fingers on the pulse of what is it that the state needs in order to keep promoting the number one engine of Montana economy, which is agriculture.
You know, thinking about the agriculture aspect of it, Tom, one thing that impresses me is that the Montana State and the university system will name somebody from agriculture to this doctorate degree, this honorary degree, because we don't have that many that come from agriculture. I mean, the last one, of course, was my all-time hero, Bob Lee, who was a few years ago. And there's some other legends. I mean, a few AGR brothers on there, like Roy Huffman and Torliff Oschheim and Gene Thayer, but there aren't many. And I'll tell you something else, Tom. There aren't many presidents of Montana State University that came from agriculture. Back when I was student body president in the late 70s, I was so proud when we picked a veterinarian to be our president, when Bill Teets became our president. But there aren't very many times that we pick somebody that grew up in agriculture on a farm in Puerto Rico to come and become a president of Montana State University. So agriculture, it's important, but it's still kind of cool that agriculture gets recognized.
I want to ask this question. Taylor, what's the difference between MSU graduates now to when MSU in agriculture, to when you graduated somewhere in the mid-70s?
Oh, it's just amazing what's changed. When I graduated, there were only 4 degrees. So I didn't get an animal science degree. My degree's in ag science because we didn't have that number of degrees. We didn't have that number of options. Animal science didn't even have a building. Animal science was put in the ag building, as it had been since, you know, for many, many decades. It was just the ag building, and animal science was part of that. So you know, there's been just in my area of ranching and agriculture and cattle and horses and animal science, there's been phenomenal change. Of course, what we've done with the ag education program, Dr. Cruzado could go on and on, but there's just a tremendous broader variety for agriculture opportunity at Montana State than there was before.
President Cruzado, comment on that. I mean, from 4 to the number of degrees, the progression of agriculture in education over the past several years, 40, whatever, has been astounding, I think.
It has been absolutely amazing. And you were asking about the difference between our graduates today and our graduates of the past. One thing that is absolutely amazing is how well-versed in technology and finance our current students are, right? So they know that they're going to go out in a very competitive world. So they want to make sure that they have the best tools available to be very competitive, to be at the top of their business. And we are very proud of that. The other part that it's very exciting, it's also how interested these students are in terms of research. What are the tools that they need in order to capitalize on their investment? What are the tools that they need to have in order to reduce costs in their operation and maximize profit? And that is why, just to mention just one field, right, precision ag is just coming roaring to Montana. We are very proud that we have one of the top individuals in the nation, our Shrikala Bajwa, which is the vice president of agriculture at Montana State, just having those very important conversations with our producers as to what is it that you need from the land-grant university in order to have a very successful future. One last thing I will say, though, Tom, things have changed a lot, but our students today, just like our graduates yesterday, are the best people in the whole wide world. And they are committed to Montana State University, and they are great citizens. They care about their communities. So while there's a lot of change, there are some very good things and good values that never change, and I'm very proud of that.
I appreciate that very much, because that's one of the reasons, one of the things I keep talking about when we try to preserve our rural way of life is because there's a lot of values that are associated with that. Taylor Brown, I want to ask you a question. You know, we talk about that research money, and I know it's a large figure. I think it's $650 million, not just for agriculture, but for the university in a whole. But what have you seen as an ag advocate, as a reporter over the years, how that research money has played out in terms of the everyday farmer and producer?
The thing that has impressed me has been how MSU has listened to the producers and tried to develop research that will help them survive. I mean, There's just hundreds of them. Where do you start? Certainly we could start with pulse crops. When I was a young farm broadcaster back in the 1980s, we'd go to the ag research field days, and over in the corner of the field day, there'd be this little plot on pulse crops. Well, we didn't even know what pulse crops were. I think it was like peas or something, you know. But that's MSU doing that research. But we're wheat and barley producers. We're not interested in learning about pulse crops. Well, fast forward to 25 years later. Where are we now? Now we're the number one pulse producing area, and we're providing opportunities to use land that was never used before. And we're turning, saying, well, what kind of chemicals do we use? When do we plant it? When do we seed it? When do we fertilize it? How do we grow these plants? Well, guess who has the data? And guess where that data came from? Of course, a lot of it came from North Dakota because they were ahead of us, but an awful lot of it came from right here, from a commitment that Montana State had way before that became a pop. That's just one example. There's hundreds of them.
Wadded, President Cruzado, I should say.
That is my name. That's perfectly fine.
Well, Dr. Cruzado, but thank you, Wadded. I do appreciate that. We only have like about 2 minutes here, and I know that you're busy scheduling. I really appreciate your fitness in. I wanted to have you just say a word, and I know Taylor's going to hate this, but he's going to get it this week anyway, as being honored with a doctorate degree this week, Friday, at Montana State University. Talk about how those achievements as a legislator, as a broadcaster, as an alum, how they've affected Montana State University.
Well, you know, Tom, I am so proud of Taylor because he's a well-rounded individual, and he has really gone beyond the call of duty in so many aspects of his life. He's a fantastic family man, which is something that we truly admire at Montana State University. He has been an extraordinary alum, always staying in touch with his alma mater. You know, some of the things that Taylor has done with our AGR fraternity, just making sure that those kids have a role model, always have a voice when they have questions, when they want to advance some projects. Taylor has always been there for AGR, for Montana State University, for the College of Agriculture. And I had the incredible blessing when I arrived back in 2010. He was then Senator Taylor Brown, and he was always so intelligent, so incisive, just asking the right questions, right, making sure that the taxpayer dollars go that extra mile and that we are always responsible stewards of our assets. So Taylor Brown is one of my most favorite people on the face of this earth. He is an incredible Bobcat. And let me just share with you in closing this. When I first arrived, Taylor M. Shannon gave me a pair of cowboy boots. So on Saturday, when we anoint him as Dr. Taylor Brown, the entire platform party will be wearing cowboy boots.
All right.
Go Cats go. Thank you, President Cruzado.
Go Cats go. Take care.
We're back with more. Bob Lee, Jim Peterson joins us next here on Voices of Montana.
It's called a whiteout, and it requires caution. Snowplows create a cloud of snow that limits visibility for drivers following too closely, oncoming vehicles, and sometimes even the snowplow driver. Be patient. Plows maneuver slowly to clear the roads. As you approach a snowplow, slow down and give the plow driver room to work. Remember, don't crowd the plow. A safety message from AAA Mountain West and the Montana Department of Transportation.
4866-627-5483 or text message 781-627-5483. Yeah, talking about the president of Northern Broadcasting Network, who began this network in the mid-1970s, a rancher, the LO Cattle Company, a former state legislator. He's going to be honored with a doctorate this week from Montana State University. It's Taylor Brown, and I know that Taylor has... like I said, I had to twist his arm to come on in today. We invited Jim Peterson to join us as well. Jim Peterson served with Taylor Brown in the Senate, president of the Senate for a number of years, and just from Buffalo, Montana, a farmer, a rancher himself. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate you having me on, and congratulations to Taylor.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Bob Lee joins us as well. He's also a rancher from the Judith Gap area and a respected leader in the agricultural community. He, too, is I should call him Dr. Robert Lee, shouldn't I, from
yes,
from Judith
should.
Gap? Yeah. Dr. Lee, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good this morning. Yes, good to have everybody on board. You know what? Shut all the gates, guys. We're going to have a little fun today and talk about a guy that's going to receive a well-deserved honor. Him and his family, I could go back for decades on what we have done together and what the value he has brought to us in Montana. So ask the questions, guys. I'd love to have comments. I can go from FFA, Montana Range Days, Montana State University, Animal Range Science Building, Department of Livestock. Taylor is in every one of those deals, and I'm honored to be part of his celebration today.
Well, let's go back then. Where do you want to start, Taylor?
One of the most memorable things I've ever done was attend Bob Lee's doctorate when he went through his hooding process. Was it 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, Bob? I think that's the last time they honored anybody in agriculture. And it was so special to be there with your family that night for the dinner and for your ceremony. That's one of the things that gets me so excited about this week is because you invited me to be part of yours. And it's one of the most meaningful things that ever happened to me. And your family and your kids and your wife, Kathy, have just been, you guys have done so much for me over the years. And I so miss her and I so miss being around you guys any more than the days we used to be together.
Wonderful comments, Ted. I really appreciate you. You know, with Kathy's passing, that is a pretty big hole in the fence. So what do? You go back and you gather up your friends, your family, and you talk about the memories, and Taylor, you're part of those. You go back in the FFA days where we all sat together on this table and watched those kids in blue with excitement, you know, our future leaders. It was wonderful. And if I have to say anything, Tom and other members of Montana audience that are listening today, it's Montana Range Day, a tremendous, huge experience, 300 to 400 kids every year learning about range, getting down on the ground. I could go on and on, but Taylor, you and your family are awful special. Congratulations.
Thanks, Bob.
So, Bob, now that you have a doctorate, you still do the dishes, don't you?
Right now I'm doing them more often, that's for sure. But yeah. So if you hang around with us and you're going to have fun. We're going to get out on the ground. We're going to talk about what's important to agriculture. I'm going to make one more comment, Tom, kind of along those lines. So if I could really admire Al Taylor for several things. Well, one of them, he has that ability to broadcasting and communication skills, multi-layered levels of opportunity to talk about agriculture from down on the ground where we are all the way up to the consumer. What's happening? Water, grazing lands. How is this affecting us as not only Montanans, but as Americans? He has a tremendous ability.
Well, that's one of the questions I want to ask. We might have just enough time for that, Taylor. What have you seen the effect of better communication when it comes to agriculture? When you guys started this network and dedicated it solely, and radio station after radio station started picking it up, now it's 70. What did that do to agriculture on the ground?
Well, first of all, I didn't start the network. As you pointed out at the top of the show, Conrad Burns started in 1975. That was the spring of my freshman year in 1975. I was busy chasing girls from Missoula at that time.
true story.
Thank God Shannon Klaus came to Bozeman from Missoula. And I was in the AGR fraternity, as Dr. Cruzado mentioned a moment ago. So I had no idea about being in broadcasting. I was in communications a little bit because I was involved in student government and I was done media work and stuff, but I'd never had a journalism degree or a broadcasting degree, even a public speaking class ever. When Conrad Burns is the one who started this network and created the voice that Bob talked about a moment ago, twice in that college career he approached me different times, you ought to come work for me, and I sort of ignored it until I got home on the ranch for about a year after school, and I thought, well, maybe that wouldn't be so bad to try just for a year, just to see what it's like. And of course, just fell in love with it and never went back. And the reason I fell in love with it, I think, is the point you're getting to. What's changed is that now farmers and ranchers have a voice in Montana. They have a way to communicate. And of course, we got lots of things media has developed since then with social media and all the different choices we have. But very few of those other media give you a trusted friend of the trusted human voice in your pickup cab with you every morning, a guy you know, his voice telling you what the news or the information or the market might mean to you today. And you're out there fighting the government, fighting the EPA, fighting the weather, and a trusted friend comes on there and tells you something that'll help you survive. That's what it meant when Conrad Burns started this network.
Well, and I know that this is sort of an anecdote that we hear when we're on the road with Taylor and traveling out doing the Torbo tour. A lot of folks will come up and say, I knew that if I wasn't by at this point by the fence line or in the field, when I heard Tater Brown's voice in the morning, I knew I was behind schedule for that day. They come to really rely on that, more so, I think, than people even realized.
Moms would say, if you come on and we haven't got the kids headed for the bus, we're late.
Yeah. Let's take a short break. We'll come on back with more. Jim Peterson with us. We haven't spoke with him. We'll have some more from Jim here in just a bit, who served with Taylor in the legislature. Bob Lee, also in Taylor Brown in studio. First, though, here's Brian Bennett with headlines.
The holiday season means more travel and quality time with extended family and friends. With COVID cases surging nationwide and the highly contagious Delta variant widespread in Montana, get vaccinated now to keep your family healthy. The COVID-19 vaccine is safe, effective, and free. Especially this time of year, it's the best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community. Visit covidvaccine.mt.gov to find a vaccine near you. Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services.
Well, history of ag in Montana, broadcasting politics. Taylor Brown, our guest in studio today. Jim Peterson is with us as well. He served with Taylor in the legislature. Taylor was in there in 2009. 2016, a state senator, and Jim Peterson as well, state senator 2007 to 2015. And Bob Lee, fast friends with the Browns and with Jim Peterson as well, as a rancher from Judith Gap and one of the most recent honorary doctorate recipients from Montana State University, one of them anyway. And we've got a lot to talk about their range days, but I want to go to Jim Peterson a little bit, Jim, and just have you comment. You've been listening along here. There's probably a few stories to tell about Taylor in the legislature as well. In fact, I got a text message here. Ask him about Taylor in the legislature. Any good stories? I know there were some practical jokes.
Well, I have to open this up by saying one of the best things that happened to me in the legislature is when Taylor got elected to the legislature. You know, he carried a big stick in the legislature, and he is, in fact, the voice of Montana. There's no question about it. Mr. Agriculture, for sure. And I can't think of anybody more deserving in this honorary doctorate than Taylor Brown. And I'm going to be honored to be there on Friday, I guess it is, that he gets his hood. And I can't say enough good things about Taylor, but he was very effective in the legislature. We served together for quite a few years in the legislature, and he was one of those people you know, when you get in the legislature, one thing you find out real quick is where your friends are and people you can count on. And Taylor was one of those people you could always count on, and he, not only as a friend, but as a fellow legislator. And there were a group of us in the legislature that were from agriculture, and Taylor kind of led the group and chaired several committees, and he made a big difference in the legislature for the FFA, for the university system, for agriculture in general. He and I were, you know, involved in several appointments to the Board of Livestock. And and by the way, they're meeting today in Helena. I happen to be in Helena today, and I have a lot of good memories of Taylor in the legislature here in Helena. And we did have a few practical jokes, but the thing about the legislature is you develop quite a network of folks, and you learn a lot about the process. And as I said, you really do find out how the world turns, kind of like Washington, D.C. It's the nerve center of the country, and Helena ends up being kind of the nerve center of the state of Montana. And Taylor played a big role in that, and as has already been stated several times, you know, we're blessed in Montana to have a guy like Taylor.
Taylor, what, and we're kind of running out of time in this segment, but you guys became fast friends, you and Jim, you and Bob. What is it that binds you guys?
The common link I think all of us have is a love for the land, the love for the soil and water and the animal agriculture. I mean, Jim Peterson, when he was executive of the Montana Stock Growers, Jim, I remember that Undaunted Stewardship program that you created. And then Bob Lee was when he represented us as our Environmental Stewardship Award winner and became the national poster child for Montana farming and ranching. I don't know how many tours we took up to Bob and Kathy's place, but representing that love of the land and that, yeah, we raise cattle or horses, but we raise grass and on soil, and that's what we have in common.
We're back with more Taylor, Jim, and Bob in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You know, it's hard to remember last year's gifts, but the things we do remember are more important. Things like family dinner, So this year, why don't you give your family something they'll remember? Something they'll ask for every year. Or maybe even every night. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Brought to you by Montana Beef Producers and Checkoff Dollars.
It is Taylor Brown, president of Northern Broadcasting Network, rancher, LO Cattle Company, former state legislator. Jim Peterson is with us, who served with Taylor in the legislature from 2009. Well, Jim was in there 07 to 15 and Taylor 09 to 16. And then Bob Lee, a Judith Gap rancher, also a recipient of an honorary doctorate from Montana State University, chairman of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on a national level, Property Rights Environmental Management Committee, the National Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative, just involved in a ton of things here. I want to go back to the legislature a little bit because Jim and Taylor and then also Bob, comment on this. These things that you guys felt you moved the ball forward on, because as I say, knowing Taylor, if there's a reason or an opportunity to move the ball forward in some positive direction, I think you're throwing your support behind that. And that's one of the reasons why you got in the legislature. What did you guys move forward?
Let me let Jim say that, but let me set it up. First of all, we were in the legislature during the worst economic time in decades, when we came in out of the Great Recession. And we knew Montana was one of only like three states that stayed in the black. We had to keep our budget in the black, and we were like only one of three or four in the whole nation that kept our budget in the black. And we did that by cutting budgets. But we also have to invest. You can't just cut everything. You have to invest in things that'll grow your state. Like our number one industry is a pretty good place to start. So we focused on things like high school FFA and ag research and gym and the sort of things we spent money on, even though we reduced state spending for the first time in decades.
Taylor's absolutely right. The one thing that I don't think's ever happened since we were in the legislatures, right after the election, 2010, getting ready for the 2011 legislature, we had our caucuses and the House leadership and the Senate leadership met and secluded themselves at a dude ranch out of Utica, Montana. And we came up with a plan. We wrote it all down. We put it in a plan. And when we got to the legislature in January, we had a chart in the president's office. And as we accomplished things, we checked it off. And the same chart sat in the House. And Mike Milburn was Speaker of the House, and I was President of the Senate. And we worked together, we worked really hard, and we prioritized our dollars. As Taylor's already said, we went through each agency one at a time and had great leadership, and we actually ended up reducing the budget, but we added money to things like ag research. We added money to high school FFA. We supported the school system for rural schools to continue to provide good education to rural kids. And university system research, and the list goes on and on. And we never could have done that if it hadn't been for the cooperation of people like Taylor and other people in the legislature. And we had a plan, and it worked. That was the thing that was so satisfying about it, is we went in prepared. And at that time, we had a governor that really didn't like us much, and Taylor knows that. And we were butting our head against the door wall almost every day. And in the end, we prevailed. I was so proud of what we did that session. And we prevailed under a lot of adverse conditions. And Taylor played a big part in that. And I'll never, ever forget that. And as I said before, we worked as a team. We communicated every day. We had meetings every morning with our committee chairman, committee leadership. And that communication that Taylor helped craft for us, and the plan we put together that Taylor helped craft for us at the Circle Bar in Utica beforehand, actually worked. And agriculture benefited, education benefited, research benefited. Now we're seeing the fruits of those years as these programs blossom and help agriculture into the future.
You know, one thing that we worked on, this, and I'm glad Bob Lee's on the phone, because he and I are probably done more things with FFA kids and 4-H kids. He and I and guys like Dave Kelsey, who was honored last month at the Ag Weekend, and others are just so committed. But one of the things we did, we put a little dab of money, and I mean hardly any money, to schools that would start an FFA program in their school, because we knew that we needed trained leaders for jobs. This was way before the skilled workforce you hear about now. Now we're critically in need of skilled workers. Back then, we invested in and went from 75 or 76 high schools in the state with FFA programs to now we've got 100. And that is creating the workforce everybody wants. But it was pretty far-sighted back then to say, can we put a little dab of money to help schools create more FFA programs?
Bob Lee, I want to have you follow up on that because you served as the Montana Board of Livestock from 99 to 2005. There's just a ton of committees here. Montana Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative, as I mentioned earlier, chairman of the committee for animal and range scientists. You were sort of, you weren't a politician at that time or a legislator. You were seeing the results of some initiatives. As Taylor had just mentioned, what was your perspective going through that time and seeing some of these initiatives passed?
You know, it's just having the opportunity to participate and hopefully make a difference, not only for our families, but our great state of Montana. First of all, another thing I'd like to do is thank Jim and Taylor for the work they did there. It's outstanding. Outstanding. So one of the, it's a big puzzle. You know, we're all wanting to be part of a puzzle that we can understand and fully appreciate. And Taylor has been a big part of that. And myself and Jim and the rest of the Montanans down here on the ground really appreciate what he said. Let's take, for example, the Animal Range Science Building at Montana State University, a class act, a state-of-the-art. This is what we needed for our future leaders, our farmers and our ranchers, to be able to go out and go forth and produce things in new ideas. And Taylor was instrumental in that. I mean, he got the people of Montana, the farmers and the ranchers all together that we understand the value added. All the stuff that I'm part of, I'd just like to be able to help make Montana a better place for us and our family. And before we run out of time, we always seem to do that. You get a bunch of agriculturists together, and we've always got something to talk about, a story to tell. And I think that's one thing we have to continue to do is tell our story. If you realize life is something like a book, if you take Taylor Brown's book, there's a lot of chapters in that book. There's a lot of chapters from family, all the stuff we've talked about, FFA, community leadership, on-the-ground stuff. And you know what? I'm glad I'm part of that chapter. I'm glad a lot of Montanans are part of those chapters or a chapter in that thing. You know what? That's what makes it such a good read.
That's Bob Lee, again, one of the most recent honorary doctorates from Montana State University. There's quite a list of them, and now Taylor's going to join that list here at the end of this week. Jim Peterson also with us, and Taylor Brown. I want to kind of follow up on FFA a little bit, because when you talk about ag education, that's sort of where we started our focus here. Bob, and you mentioned it as well, those things kind of produce better results. When you said Montana Range Days, you had like there were 400 participants in the most recent Montana Range Days?
Yep. If you want to get your batteries charged, go to one of these Montana Range Days. It's two or three day out on the ground, getting down on the ground, looking at plants and soils and waters and filtrations and wildlife habitat and things like that. Let's go back and talk a little bit about 4-H, Taylor brought up. 4-H, FFA, stepping stones on your way to being successful. And a lot of these FFA kids are part of that Montana Range Days on down to our super starters, our little buggers down on the ground that are getting that baptism, if you would, of the value of grazing lands for our families in this great state. Not just not for our wildlife or our production agriculture, but for water retention and open space that it brings.
One thing that I wanted, unless you want to follow up there, Taylor.
Well, I just want to say, no, I'm in total agreement with that and what he just said. What I just wanted to say before we get done, that one of the things I want to talk about is the three of us own our own businesses. And when they sent Jim and I to the legislature, along with those other ag people, most of them own their own businesses. And they told us, try to run the legislature like a business. And we did. And that means measure performance and reward based on performance and pay your staff and fund the programs that matter and cut the things that don't. And I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about what it takes to be successful in our state.
I want to talk about those performance standards because, as we heard from Montana State University President Wadi Cruzado, this was last week at the Wool Growers Convention. She had talked about performance standards with the university, and I don't have the list in front of me, but I think they went in terms of graduation standards, the 15 plus program, you could pay for 12 credits and take 15 at the same price or take 18 at the same price, and that really kicked started the 4-year and the 5-year graduation rates, which were maybe around 20% to somewhere around 35%. Jim and Taylor, you guys focused on that in legislature.
Well, I'm so glad that you watched her give that presentation last week in front of the wool growers, because that was a 10-year process. Remember, it went from 2012 to 2022. That's what happened over 10 years. And she just, all she showed is graduation rates. All that was the amount of 4-year graduation rates went up, those that graduated in 5 years went up, and those went up in 6 years. That was just, she didn't talk about time to degree or student debt or credit load. All of those things couldn't be measured. And we got to thank, you know, we got to thank some other guys like Dan Solomon, who chaired House Education. We got to thank Lou Jones, who was one of the architects of education funding in Montana. There was a lot of guys that helped us with this, but it was revolutionary when we said we're going to help the university set performance standards. Universities don't run like a business. And for them to say, we're going to accept performance standards and have Dr. Cruzado say, you bet we'll perform. You give us the standards and we'll start performing. And we as the legislatures worked with our Democrat governor, Steve Bullock, where we had a 3-way agreement between the governor and the legislature and the university and the commissioner of higher education, that if we freeze tuition, the legislature allows enough money to freeze tuition, the university will accept performance standards and the governor will sign the bill. And it was a 3-way agreement that, okay, we'll accept a little bit of performance standards. Well, then we'll give you a little bit of money. And that helped. And Dr. Cruzado then started the movement. And of course, Clay Christensen at the Office of Commissioner of Higher Ed. So we lowered time to degree. Kids graduate more on time. We lowered student debt. We increased credit load. And you saw the results she showed last week. Over 10 years, it made a huge difference just running a little bit like a business.
Jim Peterson, you want to comment on that?
Well, he's exactly right. We basically turned over every rock and said, does this dollar need to be here in the budget? And each committee chair was charged with that. And we went through the entire budget that way. And we allocated dollars based on priorities and needs and put the dollars where we knew we thought we could get some rewards. When I went to high school in Judith Gap, we never had FFA. We had 4-H, and that's what I was involved in. But some of the money, that little seed money that Taylor talked about earlier, Judith Gap, Montana, now has an FFA program. The school is barely hanging on, but the FFA program keeps the place kind of alive. And that's just one example. And we did that throughout the whole budget. And as a result, we actually reduced spending. But I think we increased the output of state because we put dollars where we knew we were going to get good reward.
I want to look ahead here a little bit. We've been kind of looking back, but let's look forward, because you guys, Jim Peterson, a former state president, president of the state Senate, also a longtime rancher in Montana. Bob Lee as well, as I have said, just involved in many, many different aspects, particularly agricultural, but it's also community. I wanted to ask you guys and Taylor Brown as well, let's look ahead. What does Montana need today to move forward? We'll start with you, Bob Lee.
I tell you what we need is we need people out on the ground doing this 24/7, taking care of this greatest renewable resource we have, and that's our grazing lands and the communities and the families that are there taking care of it. The value added is down the road that we have this wonderful place we call Montana. You know, the only person that likes change is a baby, and change is inevitable. But I want to be part of the change. I'd like to either be the change, be part of the change, or get the heck out of the way. But we need these families out on the ground participating and being economically sustainable. And we welcome that opportunity. So let's keep these people out on the ground and doing what we love.
I think that's well said, Taylor.
People don't realize that the way you keep that kind of sustainability is you farm like you're farming for your grandkids' future. If people would run their businesses like our grandkids are going to own it someday and we got to leave it for them, then you'd be amazed how much sustainability starts to happen, because you make your decisions based on what's best for the long term of this resource, not best on for my election or my job or my current situation. I want to go back to what Bob said about that animal science building and just set one thing straight a little bit. Jim Peterson was one of the ones behind that animal science building too. Jim was actually served as an associate dean of Montana State. Just they pulled him in and made him serve as a dean. And Jim, on Friday, they're going to show us that rancher circle on the wall. They're going to show those 150 or 200 ranchers that Bob talked about that each gave $10,000 out of their ranch budget. Just out, they don't have $10,000. They took it out of their ranch budget to put into that building, and their name's on the wall. But Jim Peterson is the guy who came up with the idea, the name of Rancher's Circle. And, Jim, I just want to make sure that, that people understand that that was yours as much as anybody's, and some few others like Ron Euland and a few others, too.
But. Thank you for that, Taylor. Thank you, Jim, for that. What would you say, Jim, Montana needs to move forward?
Well, my answer is going to be a little more political. You know, the political environment right now is kind of toxic, and somehow for the good of everybody, we need to have people and public servants who will manage with a window and not with a mirror. And we've got to get back to looking through the window and doing what's best for the land, doing what's best for our state, and doing what's best for our country. And people have got to communicate with one another. I believe we need more face-to-face contact and less electronic, but I'm kind of from the old school. Things happen today over the internet that would never happen if you were, face-to-face in a meeting. And so, but we do have to look forward to the future, and we got to look out the window and do the right thing for the right reasons.
Really like that as well. Bob, I know you wanted to have a little time here to kind of conclude. We got about a minute left.
Well, I kind of jumped ahead of that because I didn't want to miss an opportunity to talk about Taylor. We're going to see him Friday, and it's job well done. I'm very proud of him. Well-deserved award. But let's be optimistic. Let's go forward with what we got, this greatest renewal resource, our families. And I agree with Jim somewhat in the political thing, and there's a lot of different things going on. But I want to be part of this, as Taylor has and Jim has all these years. I want to be part of the solution, I guess, going forward. We have a lot to talk about.
Boy, you have been in a lot of ways, Bob.
I'm so proud of Dr. Rosado saying everybody's going to be wearing boots on Friday, because I know the three of us will be, and everybody in our circle of friends will be. I got to also thank the Animal and Range Science Department staff and Dr. Pat Hatfield, who's the one who has been running our Animal Science Department for the past few years, and who was the one who put my name in on this opportunity. And I just think it's going to be a fun time to salute agriculture and have some kids too this Friday.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim Peterson. Thank you, Bob Lee. We will see you guys on Friday, I presume.
You will. The hats and boots will be there Friday.
I appreciate that. Taylor Brown, thank you as well. I know I had to twist your arm to do this, but you just know so much.
There's good luck in your next career, Tom.
Yeah. I just appreciate a boss with a sense of humor. All right, Eric Young, thank you as well.